funeral.
The sound of weeping fills the village of Nangal Chamarwada. Local residents, farmers, and many political leaders have come to attend the cremation of the late Gajinder Singh. Singh committed suicide by hanging himself on a branch of a tree just a few feet from a stage where politicians were busy speaking against a controversial land reform bill. Gajinder's younger brother, Brijinder Singh, says his brother could have been saved if the political leaders had tried to bring him down from the tree rather than finish their speeches.
My brother would still be alive if anyone at the rally had seriously tried to save him. I don't want to blame anyone, neither the police nor the organizers. I simply know this. A farmer climbed a tree to commit suicide. He was a human being who should have been saved on humanitarian grounds.
Hundreds of farmers have come to participate in the funeral, and every one of them wishes to console the bereaved family. Among them is Lakhan Singh, who traveled more than 50 miles to be here.
He was a great man who laid his life down for the rights of farmers, as he was one of the few educated farmers, and he raised his voice for our rights. Like us, he was dependent on agriculture for his livelihood.
Before committing suicide, Gajinder tossed a suicide note into the crowd in which he says he lost his entire crop in last month's severe storms. Singh says that the government is underestimating the extent of crop damages to avoid paying disaster assistance.
Our entire crops have been damaged by rain and hailstorms, but local officials say that the damage is only 23%, and that estimate deprives us of government compensation paid only when a natural calamity damages more than 25% of a farmer's total crop.
In the week after Gajinder hanged himself, eight other farmers in adjoining districts followed suit. All of their crops had also been severely damaged by the sudden rains. Sachin Pilot is the leader of the opposition Congress Party in Rajasthan state.
This needs to stop immediately. It's the responsibility of all of us, especially those who hold office, to see that farmers get the help they need and their morale is boosted.
The National Crime Records Bureau says almost 300,000 farmers have committed suicide in India in the last two decades. Gajinder's death and the increasing number of farmer suicides have sparked heavy uproar in the Indian Parliament. The opposition is demanding a nationwide probe, and Prime Minister Narendra Modi has called on Parliament to work together on the issue.
Please give me suggestions. I will take them into account. We all collectively will look for a way. We can't betray the interests of the farmers and cannot leave them without support and helpless. But for this, we need to work together.
Agriculture provides a livelihood for more than half of India's population. Although the country ranks first in global milk production and second in farm output, in the last two decades, more than 15 million farmers have left the fields. Analysts say agriculture has dropped to the bottom of the government's priority list, which seems to be more inclined towards the corporate and industrial sector. Renowned economist Dr. Satish Batra points out that in 2006, the National Commission on Farmers called for a series of reforms to address the underlying issues and curb farmer suicides, but they have not been adopted.
Let us go for soil health testing, let us go for insurance, crop insurance, and let us ensure that the farmers get due price of its produce. If you compare over the last year, the price of non-farm products increased much, much more than the price of the farm produce.
72-year-old Sultan Singh is a farmer from Punjab, also known as the agriculture capital of the country. His deeply indebted younger brother committed suicide last year.
I think the problems for farmers are the same across the country. Many times my entire crop has been damaged, but I have never received any compensation from the government. 90% of India's farmers are committing suicide because of debt. They take out loans but are hardly able to repay them. Now this new land grab bill will make their problems worse.
A controversial land acquisition bill The topic of the rally at which Gajinder Singh committed suicide passed in the lower house of parliament last month. It has yet not been approved by the upper house, where the ruling BJP party is in the minority. After Singh's suicide garnered political attention, his family received more than $35,000 in financial assistance. Many say the money from various political parties is intended to create a friend of the farmer image. Meanwhile, thousands of other farmer families are still desperate for help. Jaswinder Sehgal, FSRN, India.
Chilean President Michelle Bachelet gave her annual address Thursday as ongoing corruption scandals plague her administration and student protests have intensified after the fatal shooting of two demonstrators last week. Jacob Resnick reads for Joshua Tucker from Valparaiso.
Demonstrators clashed with police Thursday as President Bachelet gave her annual State of the Union speech to Chile's Congress in Valparaiso. Tens of thousands of students and professors have been taking to the streets regularly in the last 5 years to demand free public education for all Chileans and reforms to the private education system imposed by the Pinochet dictatorship. Last week, countrywide protests took a deadly turn when two young students were shot dead. As she lit candles at a memorial for them, Barbara Arriagada explained the two students were pasting posters to a wall when they were shot by the property owner's son. Tens of thousands of protesters returned to the site of the murders Thursday, demanding justice as the president delivered her State of the Union address less than a mile away. President Bachelet asked for the people's trust and said she is tackling corruption within the government. Five senators have been arrested in recent months as part of ongoing scandals. The president replaced five of her cabinet ministers last week. In her speech, Bachelet repeated some now familiar promises to tackle inequality, improve access to education and health care, and to increase transparency. But delays in implementing those long-promised reforms have fueled frustration among student demonstrators who have spent years now in the streets. During Thursday's demonstrations, protesters attempted to batter down the front door of the home of the alleged murderer of the two students, but were driven back by riot police. Among them was student protester Christian De La Rosas.
The people are unhappy because they can see what has happened, that the police have turned their back on us and they are defending the rich. So now we are here battling them and covering our faces too for our comrades who died in the struggle last week.
With her approval rating now at about 30%, President Bachelet is now facing the biggest challenge of her term. And some of her staunchest critics are now the leftist social movements that initially supported her until she put her reform agenda on hold. Jacob Resnick, reading for Joshua Tucker, FSRN, Valparaiso, Chile.
Amid a nationwide Fight for 15 movement by low-wage workers, the Los Angeles City Council voted Tuesday to increase its base wage to $15 an hour by 2020, up from the statewide minimum of $9. The victory is energizing worker activists across the country. Wednesday, thousands of protesters kicked off 2 days of actions outside McDonald's annual shareholders meeting near Chicago. L.A. is now the largest U.S. city to mandate a minimum wage higher than the state or federal floor. With an estimated 40% of workers now earning less than $15 an hour, the increase is expected to affect more than 700,000 people. But there are still some pending issues to resolve before the final vote. Larry Buell has more.
LA's minimum wage will increase in annual increments starting next July, eventually reaching $15 an hour by 2020 for businesses with more than 25 workers. Smaller businesses will start their increases in July of 2017. Once the wage reaches $15 an hour for both small and large employers, minimum wage hikes would be tied to increases in the cost of living. An ordinance passed last year will boost hourly wages of workers at the city's large hotels to $15.37 starting this July 1st. 8 months of debate and public comment and three economic impact studies preceded Tuesday's 14-1 vote in favor of raising the citywide minimum wage. After all the deliberation, even the most supportive city council members admit there could be some unintended consequences to the pay hike. Just before the vote, LA Councilman Paul Kerkorian shared his experience of being raised by a single mom who waited tables.
I get this issue. And I also get that if I were having that upbringing right now, today, here in Los Angeles, it would be a lot harder. It would be a whole lot harder to raise a family now doing what she did than it was then, because minimum wage has not kept up with the cost of living, with the cost of housing, with the cost of transportation, or any of the other costs that we all have to bear.
Labor activists are celebrating the move, but they're also waiting to see the language of the final ordinance to make sure that several additional worker protections are in place. One contentious issue has been what to do about tipped workers. Right now, there is no sub-minimum wage for tipped workers in California, and City Council did not vote to implement one on Tuesday. The base wage of tipped workers is the $9 hourly minimum set by the state. Many restaurants and restaurant groups pushed for a tip credit, where tips would offset employers' minimum wage obligations to the workers. Kathy Huang, director of the Restaurant Opportunity Center Los Angeles, praised the council for rejecting those policies.
You know, it's a real victory that city council members were not swayed by the lobbying efforts of the California Restaurant Association to introduce a tipped credit or a subminimum wage. On the other hand, as Councilmember Bonin expressed today at City Hall, he wants to make sure that we close the loop and protect tips and ensure that any service charges go to workers and that the service charge is not used to credit toward the minimum wage.
Labor activists also wanted assurance that any wage hike would come with strong enforcement mechanisms to make employers pay what they owe. At a rally in downtown LA Monday, a coalition of labor rights groups said that right now, workers stiffed by their employers by being forced to work off the clock or not receiving the agreed-upon wage find it hard to recoup lost wages. Flora Rodriguez is with the Clean Car Wash campaign. She says that even when workers win a wage theft claim through the State Department of Labor Standards Enforcement, they often don't see a dime.
Collecting those wages has been extremely hard. So we want to make sure that the enforcement as the minimum wage rises also goes along with it so that workers are actually able to collect those wages.
Just after Tuesday's wage hike vote, the City Council endorsed a proposal by the Council's Economic Development Committee for a new bureau to expedite employer wage violation cases. The amount of money the bureau would have to work with and its scope are still to be determined. Some small business owners and business groups remain opposed to the wage increase. Critics say that such a large hike will make businesses move to nearby cities to pay their workers less. And the trade group Valley Industry and Commerce Association said the city council was asking employers to foot the bill on a social experiment they would never do on their own employees. But both sides agree that the city council's actions, for better or worse, are likely to reverberate throughout the country. Larry Buell, FSRN, Los Angeles.
And that does it for this week's program. FSRN is supported by the radio stations that carry our show and by listeners like you. You'll find more information online at fsrn.org. Louis Reining at WTJU in Charlottesville, Virginia provides technical support. Shannon Young provides editorial services from Oaxaca, Mexico. Music in today's program is by Project Divinity via Jamendo.com. From Tampa, Florida, I'm Nell Abram. Thanks for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a film screening of COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. COINTELPRO 101 is a one-hour documentary produced by the Freedom Archives explaining an illegal FBI program coined as the Counterintelligence Program, spearheaded by J. Edgar Hoover, that targeted revolutionaries of the 60s and 70s. There will also be a presentation of ongoing local work and Q&A session after the film. Again, that's COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your...